Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, 26. I won't be long this morning, I don't think, with what I have, the second part. Won't be long. Matthew 14, 26. I'll read you one verse of Scripture and then I'll let you be seated. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Lord, I ask you today, once again, open up our hearts and our minds to understand, comprehend, and execute the Word of God in our own lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Disciples are in a battle for their life, in a storm of their life. I was at Toledo Bend yesterday, went up there to mow the grass, and it was so wet I couldn't even mow the grass. And I said, well, I'll go fishing. That lasted about 10 minutes or maybe 30 minutes, and up come a thunderstorm. And I passed by this little boat, a guy was in this little aluminum boat, maybe a 50 horsepower over there, and I zoomed by him, and another guy zoomed the other way. I'm like, dude, you need to get to moving. I mean, you can see that thing coming. I've been on this lake long enough. When you see that coming, you better go. Well, he didn't. And so I kept watching. He started going that way, thinking, I'm going to go, because the wind, I mean, they just come up and it's white capping in no time. And he's going against it. Well, trying to go against it. And then he turned around and said, I'm going to go with it. And it's like, I'm watching. I'm about ready to go out there and try to rescue him because he didn't know what he wanted to do. And finally, he went around a little island and went out of sight. But you can get in trouble real quick on the water. I don't know if you... I remember one time I was out there fishing and I thought a storm came up. Sister Baggett probably remembers this one. A storm came up and I was out there at my wharf and across the little hill there, I heard, help, help. And it was kids and adults screaming, help. And I like, so I run up to the top of the hill and I look and there was a boat that was full of water. It was almost to sinking and they were holding onto the boat and had their life jackets on. And so I got in my boat and I got ready to come up to them. They started trying to swim to me. I said, no, stay where you're at. I'm going to come behind you and come up and catch you. I'm not going to come in. I'll hit you if I go into you. So they held on, and I realized I knew right where they were at. It was about that deep. There's an island out there, and it was a hump. And I looked at them. I said, stand up. Stand up. And when they stood up, it was about this deep. But they were about to drown. I preached a sermon off that called Don't Drown in Shallow Water. Anybody remember that? Don't drown in shallow water. Stand up. And so he said, brother, I'm glad to see you. And I'm like, who is this guy? And it was a preacher, Pentecostal preacher and his kids. They just went out there to have a little fun. He said, I just bought this boat today. And he said, and it almost capsized. I helped him pull it up. And I don't know how many gallons of water came out of that boat when they finally got it on a trailer. But the disciples are going across and this storm comes up and they're rowing and it's to no avail. They're fixing to die. And they look up and they see somebody walking on the rough, turbulent water. And they said, it's got to be a spirit. You know, a spirit's come to trouble us in our troubles. The next verse says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them. I like that word straightway. He didn't let them wonder for very long. He didn't. When they cried out, he straightway answered and said, Jesus spake unto them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. He's walking on the water, but we're still going up and down here. But it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, still not sure, I suppose, answered and said to him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Let me walk on the water like you are, because it's peaceful where you're at. And he said, come. Just one word, come. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, it's a ship. I'm sure there's a ladder on the side, like a lot of these big ships have. And when he came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Imagine that. He's walking on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he got afraid again. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, now he recognized. See, the first time he said, he thought it's a spirit. We don't know. And the Lord had to tell him, it's I. But now he recognizes it is the Lord. And he cried out as he began to sink, Lord, save me. How many of you want to be saved? You come up with all these prayers that you pray, Lord, save me. Save me. And immediately, see, that's what I like about Jesus. He didn't say, well, let me think about it. Have you said enough prayers, repentance? Or save me. I'm sinking. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said unto him, good job. You went a good ways. That was pretty good. No one else has ever walked on the water but me. No, he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It looks like he's getting on him when he did pretty good. How many of y'all walked on the water? No. Well, we don't have any faith. He had little. O thou of little faith. And when he had come into the ship, the winds ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I want to preach for just a little while this morning. He saved me anyway. He saved me anyway. You already caught that? He saved me anyway. Yeah. There is a deep-rooted misconception among religious people that I have to be perfect to be saved. And that misconception turns people back from seeking any further because they feel like I'll never be perfect. And the more perfect you get, you're not the more saved. Do you understand that? You're either saved or you're not saved. And I've tried to teach you what salvation really is. Salvation isn't really going to heaven. Salvation is escaping hell. If you're drowning in the water and I say, save me, you don't care if you get in the boat. You don't care if you're on the land. You don't care. You just don't want to drown. Saving is protecting you from catastrophe. Now, you get to go to heaven. That's wonderful. But if there was no heaven, I still don't want to go to hell. Right? Save me from that. So salvation is about not going to hell. But if you're saved, you're saved. If you get into heaven's portals, you're just as saved as anybody else that gets into heaven's portals. All right? So this conception of I got to be more perfect, we should strive for perfection. There is no doubt we should move in the direction of being more perfect. But without his grace and his mercies from the perfect one, none of us will be saved. None of us can escape hell. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this theme throughout the Bible is consistent. God used imperfect people to do his work. You name me the person and I'll show you his imperfection. Anybody you want to name, I'll show you how imperfect they were. And in many cases, you're more perfect than they were. How many of y'all murdered a man? Don't raise your hand. How many committed adultery? Don't raise your hand. How many denied the Lord? Don't raise your hand. He used all these people. He used all these imperfect people to do his perfect work. And we're thinking, he can't use me because as perfect as Paul was, when you look at the life of Paul, this was a near perfect man once he found the Lord. But look how imperfect he was, killing Christians, stripping mothers with their children and killing their parents. This was Paul that held the coat as they stoned Stephen while he was crying out to the Lord. And now he's converted And boy, he's taking a beating himself, but he appears almost to be a perfect man in living for God. He doesn't waver, cast down but not destroyed, persecuted but not left forsaken. He just keeps on going. But then we come across the scripture where Paul said, Lord, three times I've prayed about this, for you to take this thorn out of my side. How many got a thorn in your side? I got lots of thorns in my side, and it ain't my wife. Thorn in my side. I tell you, one of the thorns in my side, that somebody's been on the lease again. Somebody glued the lock. There's tacks in the road. It's always something. And Paul said, this thorn that's in my side, I want it to go away. And Lord, I sought you three times about it, and it's still there. And the Lord responded like this. Quit focusing on that. I called you to preach the gospel. There are so many times we quit focusing on what this thing is all about. This whole thing is about escaping hell. That's what it's all about. We were all doomed for destruction. It's about not going there. When the Lord gave them the promise of going to a land that flows with milk and honey, they lost focus of the land of milk and honey and started murmuring, complaining what was going on in the wilderness. And so Paul answered, the Lord answered Paul, and he said, my grace is plenty. It's sufficient. And my strength, now watch this, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. God's strength cannot be seen coupled with your strength or in conflict of your strength. God's strength can only be seen when you're so weak you can't do anything. If I want to see how strong one of these boys are, I don't call two of them up here and say, y'all pick that up. We'll see how strong y'all are. If I want to see how strong you are, you pick it up. And I'll find out how strong you are. But I'll never find out how strong you are if he's helping you. Are you understanding me? So when you are completely weak, we find out God's strength, how strong he is. But as long as you have strength to do it on your own, he says, no, Paul, I'm going to leave that there, because if I take this away, you're going to be a very boastful man. You look at Paul, he was on the verge always of saying, look at me. Look at what I know. Look whose feet I studied at. I could have been this. In one place, he rebuked himself. He said, I boasted as a fool. In our text, while all the disciples are weak and fearful, they see their strength coming on the water. Jesus waits until they can do nothing to show up. Rowing won't work. Bailing won't work. Turning the sails a different way won't work. He waits until they are completely weak. And this was an opportunity for them to see God's strength. And as they cried out, thinking it was an evil spirit, only to find out this was their strength that was coming. As Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. But Peter, doubting that it was Christ, said, Lord, if it's you, well, let me come unto you on the water. And he began to walk on the water. But the scripture we read said, when he saw the winds boisterous, he got fearful, and he began to sink. And while he's sinking, he now cries out to the one he recognizes and calls him Lord. Just a few minutes ago, he didn't know who he was. Now he recognizes, I have faith in him. I have faith in him. If it's you, bid me to come. And he walked on the water, but when he saw the winds and the waves, the things going on in the world, he began to sink. If you want to focus on the world today, you'll start sinking too. It's a sinking world we're in. But he cried out as he sunk, was sinking, Lord, save me. Now watch closely. This boisterous wind caused him to doubt, not to doubt the Lord, but to doubt he could continue to walk on the water. Because when he was going down, he called on the Lord and said, save me. And this is the untold story in this passage of Scriptures, that the Lord saved him anyway. In spite of his unbelief, in spite of him not recognizing it was him walking on the water, in spite of looking again at the winds and the waves and beginning to sink, in spite of that, and in spite of him saying, "Oh, thou of little faith," looks like he's scolding him, "You little faither, you don't have any faith. You let the slightest little thing bother you." But he saved him anyway. I clap my hand. He saved him anyway. This was not a perfect thing. He didn't walk to the Lord and say, "Well, now I can save you because you walked all the way to me. Praise the Lord. You're just such a perfect man. You're just like me." No, he was sinking and he rebuked him and called him a man of little faith, but he saved him anyway. If we could peek into, you know, heaven one of these days, or even hell, we'd find out something. We'd find out there's some people that we thought were going to be saved. They don't make it. And there's other people we thought they didn't have a chance, and they make it. I'm trying to preach God saves people in spite of themselves, in spite of things they do. And we look at them on the outside, as I preached in the first sermon, and judge them on the outside when you don't know what's in their heart. He saved him anyway, in spite of his fear, in spite of his doubt. He reached down immediately and pulled him out of the water. This was not a test of his fear. It was not a test of the waves. It was not really a test of recognizing Christ. It was just a test of showing us that God will save you even with some doubt. The doubt was not with Christ. The doubt was that he could make it through this wind and waves. Let me tell you something. We read and we can preach, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. And I'm not saying he didn't stagger in believing God. But he did go into Hagar. He did have a son by Hagar. But you know what? God gave him a child anyway. I'm trying to teach you something. God gave him what he promised him anyway, in spite of him messing up. Israel murmured against God. They murmured against Moses. He still brought them to the promised land. It was their choice to turn back. It wasn't his choice. I remember Naaman the leper came, you know, with all his horses and all the king's men. He comes as the captain of the host. He comes up to because his little maid, he's got leprosy all over him. He don't know what to do. And the little maid works for him and said, "Hey, I heard about this guy named Elisha. He's pretty cool." He said, he's in contact with God. He heals people. So he wants to go to visit Elisha. So he goes to his house, and Elisha doesn't even come to the door. He sends his servant and said, tell Mr. Naaman to go dip in Jordan 7 times. Well, Naaman's wroth because the man he went to see didn't come to the door to see him. "I'm the captain of the host. Couldn't he find a better river than Barnes Creek to go dip? I mean, can't we go to some spring and do this?" But if you want to get well, so he goes to Jordan River and he dips. And on the 7th time, the Bible says, his skin returned to that of a baby. What am I trying to teach you? He did it anyway. In spite of him saying, "Well, isn't there a better river than that?" In spite of him saying, "Well, the man of God didn't come." Obedience is better than sacrifice. He healed him in spite of those things. David, as I've already mentioned, was a murderer. He's an adulterer. But he used him anyway. The rich young ruler that came to Jesus just to tempt him to see what he would say. The Bible says he loved him anyway, in spite of that. When he crucified Jesus on the cross, he looked at them and said, what? "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He loves us anyway. Amen. Do you know God is out to save you by any means? Did you know that? Can I tell you this? The devil's out to get you by any means. We have two any means working against each other. They're both trying. It's a tug of war of the any means. Both the devil wants you to be lost and God wants you to be saved. And they'll use different things trying to get you to come their way. It's a tug of war. One scripture says, by fear, I fear. He said, lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve, beguiles you with subtlety. Another scripture says, lest by any means you be deceived when you see the day approaching. Paul said this. He said, I'm scared. He said, I'm worried that after I preach the gospel, lest by any means I be a castaway. Don't think, God, that the devil don't work on me. He just works on you. Don't think that. I have the same problems you have. He'll do anything he can do to get me to fall. Anything. But I read a scripture that said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over power over all the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We're not talking about physical things, but spiritual things. Nothing should hurt me. Amen. God wants to save us through compassion. He said some are pulled by fear out of the fire. Others are saved by compassion, making the difference. But unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless, he is able to save us and keep us from sinking. Don't ever give up, somebody. People will give up on you, but you don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on yourself. No one but God knows exactly what it takes to be saved. I'll say that again. Nobody but God knows exactly what it takes to be saved. Now, if you talk to self-righteous people, they'll tell you, but they themselves don't live what they say. They can't. No one knows. No one has gone to heaven or hell and come back with a report. I don't have a checklist here to give you. Check this off like they do many things. Here's your checklist for heaven. If we had a checklist, you'd give up because some boxes you may never be able to check. What I know is he's able to keep me from falling. What I know is take up your cross and follow me. What I know is the same that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That's what I know. Never give up. As they come this morning, I like to be prepared for everything. I call it just in case. Just in case. How many of you drove to church this morning? How many of you had a flat this morning? Raise your hand. You had a flat on the way to church this morning. Nobody. How many of you have a spare tire? Raise your hand. Why? Just in case. Just in case. Just in case. I'm so compulsive about it, sometimes I carry a spare. Because I'm worried about the spare. Every once in a while, this is just a heads up. Take it from the Lord or just me. You might want to check your spare, somebody. Every once in a while, you got to check your spare. Because I've put on a spare flat tire before. The air went out. You too, huh? It went out. Like I was depending on this, and it let me down because I didn't maintain the spare. You won't have nothing left over when you get to heaven. Why do y'all do this? Why? Just in case. Just in case. You don't have to do that to be saved. You know that for sure? Get God to sign it. You sign that for me too, and I'm going to hold you. Put your soul on that. Well, you know, you don't know. And a lot of things I do look like they don't need to be done, but I do them just in case. Job got up every morning, offered sacrifices for his kids. Kids, not himself, his kids. He said, just might be one of them sinned today. And just in case, I'm going to offer a sacrifice. I'm going to give something to God. I don't know if they did or not. I got good kids, but just in case, I'm going to keep praying for them. Just in case, I'm going to keep fasting for them. Just in case, I'm going to keep encouraging them. The difference between the five wise and the five foolish was that the five wise carried extra oil just in case the bridegroom would tarry and be late. That was the only difference. And while he tarried, the others ran out. And the five wise said, "Boy, am I glad I brought this. I hope I don't run out of this." And they trimmed their wicks and it began to burn. And the five foolish said, give us. I'm sorry, but I don't have enough for you. And while they were going to buy, the others were living off of just in case. Just in case. Just in case. So I don't know what it takes for you to be saved or for me to be saved, but there's a lot of things I'm going to do. You may not need to do. That's fine. I'm not going to criticize you. But just in case. Because when we get there, it won't matter. When you got to church, you didn't go check your spare tire. But you know what? If you didn't have it, and you're one of those people that, like I am, like, man, I better carry a spare tire just in case, then I'm going to worry that I'm going to have a flat and I don't have a spare. And you live a life of worry, because you're not really sure. My wife is a worrywart when the tank gets below half. Stop and get some gas. I said, we got to have a tank. But when that light goes ding, 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 I start getting nervous then. I'm so in case kind of guy that, brother, I used to have a four-wheeler, and stuck inside that casing was a Coke bottle full of gas. Just enough to get me there in case I run out. Let me tell you, you're not going to overdo it in living for God. You're not going to overdo it. So don't let all these other people say, well, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. They don't know. Do everything you think you need to do, and you can't go wrong. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Why don't we make just a little bit of a move down here and worship the Lord together before we leave? I'd appreciate it, everybody that can. Hallelujah. He saved me. Anyway, he loved me anyway. He loves you anyway. Hallelujah. In spite of your failures, in spite of your hiccups and hang-ups, he loves you anyway. Thank God. Lord, you're worthy. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many times. I'll just tell you one time. I took a guy fishing one time, and he happened to be a preacher of all things. I don't normally do that, but I took him fishing, and we got out somewheres, and the shear pin broke. I think that's what it was. No, it wasn't the shear pin that broke. That was another time. The little thing that goes into the gas in the motor, that little click thing, broke. We're way out. And he said, "Oh, brother," he said, "this thing broke. We're going to be stranded." I said, "I got another one." He said, "You're lying." I said, no, I got one right here. I pulled it out, hooked it up. Boom. He told his son, he said, "Who in the world would carry an extra one of these?" Let me tell you something. Be prepared. Be prepared. You never know. Just be prepared. When you're not prepared, you're uncomfortable with things. But when you're prepared, you're ready for things so that when it happens, you don't panic. I got another one of those. So don't worry about the people saying, "Oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need that. You don't have to have that. You don't have to." Quit it. Quit it. You're living your life. They're living their life. And maybe they don't. But just in case. Just in case his coming is delayed, I got a little extra gasoline over here. Now, everybody go check their spare tire when you leave, all right? Check it. Check the pressure. Don't just push it. Check the pressure in it. Amen. Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy and your blessings. I'm thankful, Lord, for this group of people, this community, Amen. This nation, this country, this world, God, is all yours. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. I do ask the blessings upon each and every one here today. Protect us, Lord. Let us be a prepared people. When you went away, you said, I go to prepare a place for you. You're prepared. Let us be prepared to move into it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another, and we'll see you Tuesday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.